Well, it was actually May the 6th, so it's just over 3 years now, just a few days over 3 years. And I was basically felt great. My game was in decent shape, and I was travelling to play somebody in a practice snooker match. And I don't remember the day, but apparently the weather was very, very bad that day with torrential rain. And I aquaplaned on a puddle of water, going beneath the speed limit, skidded, and hit another car, which took me down a trench and into the tree. And the trees that did the damage, you see. And the car was a write-off, but I don't remember being there. I don't remember the day. To this day, I don't remember it. And when the paramedics came, they thought I was dead on the scene. I was bleeding out of everywhere. And they cut the car open, got me out, and I was banged up in a coma for a couple of days after that.
It's absolutely incredible, then, that, as you say, you had all those injuries. How bad were the implications? When you came out of the coma, obviously it was explained to you what happened. How much work did you have to do normal day-to-day things, let alone play snooker?
Well, I couldn't play snooker. The queue was away for some time, I think maybe a month, month and a half, and not knowing if I could ever pick up again. When I had bruising and swelling on my brain, which caused a lot of dizziness and fatigue. And I had a fractured right eye socket, a broken left collarbone. So it sort of like took out each side, missed the spine in the middle and the neck, which is obviously another blessing. And a few fractured ribs, broken ribs. But it was the eye that I was more bothered about, for wanting to become a snooker player. I could see things four times. I could see four people. It was very, very blurry. Four visions of people, and not knowing if that was ever going to be healed or the same again. Everything else was more in time. It'll just heal. Your broken collarbone will just heal in time. Your ribs. That was all sort of, but I wasn't really bothered about that. I was more bothered about my eyes. Is my eye going to be okay? And luckily, again, another blessing, it was. I've not actually got any permanent injury from that car crash. So very, very lucky. And if you could see the pictures, which I've got on my phone, but if you could see the pictures, you wouldn't believe that someone survived that. So yeah, very, very, very lucky man.
Obviously, it goes without saying, there's been so much work gone in, and you've had such a long road back to be harbouring ambitions of getting onto the tour full-time and stuff like that. How did it feel, therefore, to be on the TV playing at the shootout earlier this year with all that had gone before and that spotlight? I know you didn't get the result that you would have wanted, but to have gone that far from being not able to pick up the cue to being live on the TV playing snooker?
Yeah, very, very happy. I mean, I do enter every tournament to win. So the fact that I got beat, obviously disappointing. It actually felt like a bit of an anticlimax because I went all that way to Watford for basically a couple of safety shots and in off as well. I potted the white, obviously by mistake, and then frame over within 10 minutes. It felt a lot quicker than that as well. But it felt like a bit of an anticlimax. But my mindset is I will be on the telly again. And yeah, I can only build on that now. I'm not taking any, there's no negatives from that situation. I got there. I'll get there again. And from the accident 3 years ago to now, it's probably taken, you've got to take everything collectively of what I had a setback with. So it's probably taken about 3 years to get everything back to normal regarding my technique, my belief, my confidence, match play, practice play, tournament play. Everything is probably taken two and a half to 3 years to get back to where I feel is a standard needed to get onto the tour and stay on the tour once you're on, So hopefully this time in Q School, I can put some results together.
There's been such an expansion in the game recently, hasn't there, with the tour expanding, so many more tournaments. Q School you mentioned there, which we'll get you to explain in a moment. Just how competitive is it? How hard is it to get yourself that tour card and get out there going around the world to tournaments?
Oh, very hard. I will say this, Barry Hearn, who's obviously the snooker guru, he's the main man in the snooker world now. He's done wonders for the sport, and I do think Q School is a great way and a fair way to get on the world tour. The cream not necessarily rises to the top in Q School, but I guess over three events, over one, two, three, four years, however long you try, If you keep that belief and you keep practicing, I think that's the big thing as well. You've got to keep practicing. There's no point in having belief and not practicing. You've got to practice and work at it as well. If you keep that, then when it takes one, two, three, four, five, 6 years, over two or three events, eventually the cream will rise to the top. And then obviously there's a bit of pressure off on the tour now because of how good the money is. Again, and that's down to Barry Earn taking it from 4, 5, 6 million 10 years ago to 15 million this year now. So getting on the tour is going to be a massive thing for anyone now. And if I can do it, I have the full belief and confidence that it would be like a monkey off my back. You're earning prize money. You're traveling around the world. So I feel as if my game would blossom getting on the tour. But to get on the tour is a very, very, very tough because it's cutthroat. It's only best of sevens. Everyone wants it. Everyone's paid £1,000. So there's no idiots playing. You know, everyone's paid £1,000 to qualify for this world tour. From everyone around the world, this is. Everywhere around the world. So it's very cutthroat to get on. But once you're on, the rewards are there for you.
It seems incredible to hear that at elite level sport, trying to get onto the top level of a sport, you're actually paying to go into the qualifying event. But this is serious stuff, isn't it? 12 cards available. There's three events at Q School. But as you said, so many people there and so much at stake. What's the pressure like?
The pressure for me, and I'm only speaking for myself here, everyone else will be different. But the final week leading up to Q School, I probably feel it more than what I would do if I was actually when I actually play. I'm either myself, am I queuing right, and I probably am. But all year round, I've been playing well in practice, and obviously you do have bad days. But all year round, I've been playing well consistently, and nothing's been in my mind. But as soon as it gets to like a couple of weeks, I'm like, am I queuing right? Is my stance right? I'm playing a bit bad today. Is it because of that? And yeah, it's a last 2 weeks. It's a bit of a nightmare for myself, really. It's like it's all year round. You've been playing for this moment, and now it's finally upon you. Are you playing well enough to do it? But once I do get there in the match arena, if you will, playing on Monday or on Tuesday or whenever I play, I will feel nothing. I'll be totally calm, playing, knowing that my game is in good shape, and I'll feel like I'm ready to play, feel good, ready to go, and that the occasion won't be affecting me.
And just finally, you mentioned the practice and the preparation that goes in. Snooker players have to commit so much time, don't they, to being out there on the table and playing and putting that time in. How hard is it to kind of live real life and do normal things and presumably bring money in and maybe do some kind of work at the same time? Is it a real balancing act for you?
Well, I've been, for the last year, probably since my accident, and every setback has a big comeback, if you will. That's how I look at things. And my car crash probably made me knuckle down more than what I did before my car crash. So me playing all the time doesn't affect me. I do work at the lodge at Slyne in Lancaster, but they're very, very good with me there. They allow me to pick and choose my shifts. I tend to work breakfast shifts as well, so I can start at 6:30, finish at dinner time or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get the shift over and done with, and then I can go play snooker. I do have a baby as well of three, and I have one on the way during August. But my partner, Sarah, she's very, very good as well. Amazing, and she allows me to practice round the clock, really, to get to where I want to get to, because she also knows the rewards as well. And on a day off from work at the lodge, I've been doing 6, 7 to 8 hours solo practice every day. When I'm at the lodge for 4, 5, 6, 7 or 8 hours working there, I will then come home, freshen up, and I'll be going back to the practice table for 3, 4 or 5 hours on a work day. So I really do put in the effort, and that's not for everybody. Not everyone can possibly do that. I don't have a problem with practicing. I love to practice. I love to play matches. I love to play tournaments. I just love playing snooker. But it can get tough, especially when you're not playing so good on that day. You can get a bit tired, but you've got to tell yourself you've got to do this last hour. You've got to put in these last 2 or 3 hours, because this is gonna give you the reward you want. So yeah, that's how I treat it.